It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms
and conditions. 18+. All right, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on All of a Sudden a Sunny. How about this? The fog has lifted Tuesday afternoon right here on 950 KHJR. Headlines, of course, are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
So it's kind of a fun challenge now. We love it.
Yeah. You want tickets for the Kraken and Predators tonight at Climate Pledge Arena? VenueKings.com can set you up. Be sure and use code Sofie at checkout for a little discount. Big news in the NFL. After 16 years as the head coach of the Saints, winner of Super Bowl 44, 152 wins, Sean Payton stepping down today as the head coach in New Orleans, says he's not retiring but has no plans to coach in 2022.
Other coaching news, Steelers interviewing former Hawks defensive coordinator Chris Richard for their vacant coordinator position, and Raiders have requested an interview with Bucks defensive coordinator Todd Bowles to be their new head coach.
Baseball Hall of Fame Cooperstown. We're going to know in a matter of minutes who was going in 2022. It's the final chance, at least on the writer's ballot, for guys like Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling. We should know within the next 10 minutes who is in and who is out.
Got another transfer for the Dogs.
I like it.
He's not offense. He's not defense. He's special teams. They picked up their seventh transfer, Idaho State kicker / punter, Kevin Ryan.
What's his range? Do we know? Any idea?
I don't know. 100 yards.
Can he make a 50-yard field goal in the range?
No, but he can make a 41-yard
field goal. You sure about that? Because that's really all I'm looking at, to be honest with you.
41 yards!
What else? More news in the NFL. The Bears reportedly finalizing a deal to make KC player personnel director Ryan Poles the next GM in Chicago.
Fifth-ranked Kansas won the game of the night in college basketball last night, beating 13th-ranked Texas Tech in double OT, 94-91.
And don't forget the Kraken tonight, looking for consecutive W's for the fifth time in franchise history. That would be this year. They got the Predators, 7 o'clock face-off, 6:30 pregame tonight right here on 950 KJR.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Sofie and Dick.
All right, I'm being told in my ear by producer of the week, Jackson Feltz, which really isn't that great an honor because we only have like three producers working here. So, you know, I just
got
like
a 33% shot.
I feel like we should just rotate that award every week. Yeah. So I have been to Climate Pledge Arena many times, but I have not yet been there for a basketball game. Have you been there for a basketball game?
Not.
Okay.
Just hockey.
Yeah. It looks great on TV for sure. I can't wait to get in there for a hoops game. So Seattle U is playing Stephen F. Austin tomorrow. Is that right over at Climate Pledge Arena?
Yep.
How many pairs of tickets do we have for that game to give away?
We got four tickets.
Four tickets?
Yeah. Two pairs.
So two pairs?
Two pairs.
Okay, if you want tickets for tomorrow, if you got nothing to do, you want to take the kid, take the wife, maybe go by yourself and just take both seats because you need the extra room, whatever. 49451, text in your first and last name, the city
and
you're
email,
from.
Right?
What do you want? You want email?
An email, yep.
This is why we need to have show meetings to discuss this stuff.
It's better to do it on the air.
Okay, so I have no idea how we're giving these tickets away. All right, how's that? What do you want from
people? I would like you to text in 49451, your first and last name, and your email. Simple as that.
The guy literally gets in my ear seconds before the show starts.
To be fair, I did text earlier today, so this would be the time to say, what do you need?
Okay, did I see that text? Did you see the text?
Well, you sent a text. You didn't say do it at the top of the show. I thought you meant do it at the top of the...
Definitely said
at the Chris Victor interview at 6 o'clock.
Let me just ask you a question, honestly. In hindsight, all right? Yes. I'm not going to ding you for this, okay? In hindsight, could this have waited until maybe 3:30?
No, because I said, let's do the Seattle U ticket giveaway right off the bat, right at the top of the show.
Well, I never saw that text, so that's my fault. I apologize. I'll put my name on it. I will own it, and I will say it's my fault, but you're fired. How's that sound? Anyway, we're sitting here. I don't know what your guys' take is on this, but I'm kind of on the edge of my seat right now. Literally on the edge of my seat because one of the wheels on this chair is broken.
Yes,
you may have noticed that. So if I lean the wrong way, like watch this. You ready? I'm going to lean the wrong way. Here we go. See that?
Ooh,
falls
geez.
Over. Whole chair falls over. We can't even afford chairs that have proper wheels on them, for crying out loud. But this is the chair that Jim Moore sits in, so I don't know. Maybe he unscrewed it just to mess with me. But I'm literally and metaphorically on the edge of my seat waiting to see if Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens make the Hall of Fame. And it's a big story, right? I mean, for baseball fans, for the sport of baseball itself, this is a pretty damn big, this is about as big as it gets over the offseason in baseball to see if these guys get in. They're on the ballot for the 10th time. If they don't get in today, the only way they can make it is if they get approved by the old man committee, mm-hmm. the veterans committee, or the ray of sunshine committee, whatever the hell it's called now. I got no freaking idea. They change the damn thing every stinking year. But we're sitting here on the watching the MLB Network waiting to see if Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and even a guy like Curt Schilling, David Ortiz, ends up making the Hall of Fame. So, you know, not as nervous as I was for Edgar Martinez, obviously. No. Not even close as nervous as I was for Edgar Martinez. And I remember where we were. I don't know if you were with me or not, but I was at the VMAC when Griffey made the Hall of Fame because we were getting ready for a playoff game that week for the Seahawks. And we're down there. And I think the nervous energy for Junior was to see if he could be the first unanimous player mm-hmm. to make the Hall of Fame. And that honor went to Mo Rivera, obviously, a couple years later. So, I mean, what do we think? Do we think Barry Bonds and Roger This is one of the great age-old arguments that sports fans have been having for 10 years, and it's going to continue, right? Whether they make it or not, did they do the right thing? Did they do the wrong thing? This is going to be debated forever, just like the Pete Rose. Note to all the young sports talk show hosts out there, if you ever struggle for topics, just bring up Pete Rose, and you can talk about it for 4 hours.
Since 1989.
Exactly. So do Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds belong in the Hall of Fame?
I'll start with where you started on being on the edge of your seat. Yeah. I would agree with you that is a big, big baseball story. Maybe yes. the biggest baseball story in the, of this entire offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care
wow.
one way or the other,
okay.
just personally.
Okay.
But to answer your second question, I do think I'm a believer of paying your penance.
Yes.
And I think Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds have paid their penance. They have paid their penance of quite a few. I mean, they would have both been in the Hall of Fame a decade ago.
Yeah.
So they have paid a decade long penance for cheating the game, and I think they're ready to go into the Hall of Fame. And well, I'd be okay with them being elected to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I care. I mean, it sounds like you could give a rat's ass
I don't
way,
care if they're in
whatever. And I do care, but like if they don't make it, I'm not gonna go home and cry, just so you
sure,
know.
Yeah.
I'm
yes,
not gonna go
are.
Home and like stick my head in my pillow and just leave me alone. They didn't get in. I do care. Because I think they both belong in the Hall of Fame. I think Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds both belong in the Hall of Fame. And I totally agree with you on the penance part, because to me, there is, look, there's a difference between a Hall of Famer and a perennial All-Star, obviously. There's a difference between a first ballot Hall of Famer and a fifth ballot Hall
That's
of Famer
right.
and a 10th ballot Hall of Famer, and back in the day, a 15th ballot Hall of Famer. There are different levels of Hall of Fame players. I mean, like, obviously Bill Mazeroski and Babe Ruth are both in the Hall of Fame, but one is not like the other. We all know
yes.
that, okay? Willie Mays, Ted Williams.
They should have a Hall of Fame
okay?
wing of the Hall of Fame.
I'm totally, you know what? That's fine. Have like an elite club
yes.
where you got to know the secret handshake
exactly.
to get in or whatever. Maybe have your palm print or know the secret code, New England clam chowder, and they let you into the hall. Is that the red or the white? And they let you in the super secret like penthouse club where they have all the hors d'oeuvres and free drinks and the
right.
and the girls and all that stuff, right? But there is a difference between levels of Hall of Famers, and I'm totally with you that Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, if you do believe they should have paid some kind of a price, they paid it because they were going to be first ballot Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Both those guys were going to be first ballot Hall of Famers, and now the only way they'll get in is if they wait 10 years, and if they can't get in today, which some people think they're not going to, by the way, we'll find out in a matter of minutes here, that they may never make it into the Hall of Fame. But I think that when it comes to steroids, first of all, this is just a much bigger conversation than just us talking on the air for a couple of, we could be here all week
yes.
talking about steroids and how hypocritical.
We've had weeks of shows
yes.
where we talked about baseball
yes.
steroids.
How hypocritical baseball is with all of this stuff. I mean, are they going to return all the money they made in that run in 1998?
Right.
Are they going to give back all the licensing fees on jerseys and tickets and TV revenue and radio revenue and all that stuff. I mean, they made, you know, hundreds and hundreds, if not billions of dollars off these guys. And now they're trying to act like they don't even freaking exist, which I think is totally hypocritical, but different conversation for a different day. I would just say this about steroids. In general terms, do you believe that steroids turned a player into either A Hall of Fame player, or B, gave him a Hall of Fame career? And I differentiate because I think there's Hall of Fame players out there in a lot of sports. Like, for example, Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson was a Hall of Fame player.
Yes.
But never had a Hall of Fame career because the guy couldn't stay healthy. So in this case, did the steroids make Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens into Hall of Fame players or give them Hall of Fame careers? And I think absolutely the answer is no, they did not, because I think they were both Hall of Fame players before they started taking steroids. And look, nobody knows for certain the first day that Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds got injected in the ass with anabolic steroids. But if you do read the articles and look at the timeline, Roger Clemens, you know, the word is he met this trainer in Toronto, Brian McNamee, in 1998, and his career took off. So let's just go with what we know. Roger Clemens, for 13 years before he met Brian McNamee, had an ERA of 3.06, 2,500 strikeouts, 192 wins, led the league in ERA four times, wins twice, strikeout three times, innings pitched once, won three Cy Youngs and an MVP.
He's a Hall of Famer if he retires that day.
Well, Curt Schilling, by the way, has how many more wins? 24 more wins than Roger Clemens in an extra seven seasons and has never won the Cy Young or the MVP. So, yes, he was a freaking Hall of Fame player before he started taking steroids. Barry Bonds, if you believe everything you read about when he got Greg Anderson back into his life and the Balco story, we're talking like the winner of 2000, 14 years in baseball, three MVPs, eight gold gloves, 445 home runs, and, oh, by the way, 460 stolen bases. There was no five-tool guy in baseball like Barry Bonds for those first 14 years, had a 968 OPS and a 410 on-base percentage. He was a Hall of Fame player before he started taking steroids. The steroids turned them into unbelievable legendary players to the elite of the elite. That's why I'm totally okay with making them wait. Because there's a difference between the first ballot and the 10th ballot. And I think both guys are Hall of Famers. And to not put them in, I think is ridiculous. I also think to treat everybody the same who's taken steroids is crazy. Like, I'm getting into an argument, why I have no idea, with a guy on Twitter today about Maguire. And you guys know me. I was a huge Maguire fan growing up. I got
freaking your favorite player.
Yeah, favorite player. A's jerseys, Cardinal jerseys. They used to cut out box scores from the paper like a freaking idiot and put them in a book, you know, like a sticker book. All right, I, you know, go to the games of the kingdom and, you know, beg the guy to, you know, sign my freaking baseballs or hat or whatever. So I love the guy. But Mark Maguire became a Hall of Famer. He hit 500 home runs. He got to 400 home runs because of steroids. He got banged up. He probably would have retired. He couldn't even play in the early 90s. That's not the case with guys like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. Guys like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds were Hall of Fame players even before they started taking the juice, and the juice pushed them over the edge. That's why it's okay to make him wait. But to not have him in the Hall of Fame says to me that the Hall of Fame is not about the best players baseball has ever had to offer. If these guys aren't in, it's not complete, in my opinion. They both deserve to make it.
And I'm there with Pete Rose, too.
Yes.
Because how do you have the Hall of Fame without the guy that has the most hits?
Right.
I mean, and he's been sitting out for the last 32 years, 33 years.
Yeah.
He's been out of the Hall of Fame. Now, there is a little bit of a difference between what steroids did to Bonds versus what it did for Clemens. Really, what it did for Clemens was just continue his same level of greatness for probably another 10 years longer than it probably would have continued.
Yep.
Whereas Barry Bonds, all you got to do is look at the home run numbers and you see pre-steroids 25, 34, 33, 37, 40, and then post-steroids 49, 73, 46, 45. So it really turned Barry Bonds into a different player, I really don't think it turned Roger Clemens into a different player. Just kept him at the top.
Well, but that's part of it, though, right? Longevity is a trait, is a skill, and he was able to pull it off. And for Barry Bonds, I mean, without steroids, he probably gets to 500 to begin with. I mean, 400 would have been enough. Hell, some folks think 3-3 would have been enough to have that combination of power and speed and defense and the whole thing. So I think he absolutely belongs on the Hall of Fame. And I'll just go one step further that, you know, for baseball, and I realize that Cooperstown is a separate entity, but baseball has a lot of influence and they have a working partnership over the Hall of Fame. Have you guys been to the Hall of Fame, by the way, in Cooperstown?
No.
You haven't been there? Okay. I've been there twice. You guys got to go. It's freaking awesome.
Yep.
You know, when you have time, I would actually suggest, if anybody's not been there, do not go during the week of the induction unless you want to be surrounded by people and unless you want to pay six times for parking what it costs outside of that 1 week and unless you want to end up, you know, getting just built for hotel rooms. I mean, it's cool seeing all the legends that are there when you walk down the street, but if you want to just go to the museum, don't go when there's a freaking induction because it's a damn circus. But to not have those guys in there and to not even acknowledge, and you just said Pete Rose, the all-time hits leader, imagine a baseball or any sports Hall of Fame that does not include the guy with the most home runs and the guy with the most hits. And that's what baseball would do. It's like having like Canton, Ohio.
Right.
The guy with the most rushing yards and the most passing touchdowns, not there. The most goals scored in hockey, not there. The most points scored, the most rebounds in the history of basketball, not in there. So they absolutely both should be in the Hall of Fame. And the other part of this, too, is that, look, this wasn't illegal. Baseball was not testing for PEDs back in the day. You were literally saying that they were cheating, and I ask you, what rules did they break? And you can't come back to me because they didn't exist.
It wasn't a rule. Yes, it wasn't a rule. And you know, you mentioned the top at home runs and top hits. How about this? The top 14 guys in strikeouts in Major League Baseball history are all in the Hall of Fame except for the number three guy, and that's Roger Clemens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts.
Top 14 there are people with over 1,000 less, 1,700 less strikeouts than Roger Clemens that are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. Is it done?
It is official.
Is that
now
official? Tell them what you just told me.
David Ortiz is the only member on this year's ballot going into the 2022 class for the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I think it's a joke.
Wow, Barry Bonds.
I think it's a joke. I think it's wrong. I think it's hypocritical. I think it's wrong. I think it makes the Hall of Fame incomplete. And I agree with what John Canzano said with Puckett and Jim Moore today, that it's ridiculous that they're just ignoring history. This stuff happened, right? I mean, it's a part of baseball history. Whether you like it or not, it's a part of baseball history. When you go to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, you see exhibits on Japanese baseball. You see exhibits on women in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things that baseball's done. They had letters that were written from bigots to Hank Aaron during his Hall of Fame chase that they have on display to let you get a sense of what he was fighting and what he was dealing with when he broke the record. This is all part of baseball. And to just to have the Hall of Fame ignore it and not even acknowledge that this stuff happened, I think it's bull crap.
Well, here's a question that I have. David Ortiz was among...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
More than 100 players that tested positive for steroids in 2003, and he's not nearly the player that Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds are, and he's getting in.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. You know what we should do? I don't know if he's got a vote or not, but we should call Corey Brock and get him on the air real quick. See if he can jump on and maybe answer that question.
Yeah.
You know, because there's been a lot of rumors. And, you know, I know that Rafael Palmeiro, for example, 3,000 hits, he tested positive, and there's been some thought that maybe it was a false positive, that maybe he got duped by Miguel Tejada. There was no other evidence throughout Palmeiro's career that he was on steroids. But I don't know. I'm disappointed, man. It's not right, you know, for baseball to have this approach where they just completely ignore the fact that they let this happen. They let this fester. They let this atmosphere go on. They created this mess by not making it crystal clear that you could not get away with what these guys were doing. And now, because of the public outrage and the outrage from the media, they just want to act like everything's fine. And I think it's crap. These guys belong in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Roger Clemens is among the best pitchers I ever saw. Barry Bonds among the best hitters I ever saw. And the fact that you have a Hall of Fame without those two guys in there, the fact that, Dick, like we just said, you have a Hall of Fame without the all-time hits leader, without the all-time home runs leader, is crazy to me.
Final numbers here for Barry Bonds. He gets 66% of the vote, falls nine short. Roger Clemens gets 65.2% of the vote, so 10 short.
So they were both at roughly 62 a year ago. And so they got bumped up a little bit. So what do you guys think? 49451, did they get it right or did they get it wrong? Roger Clemens and David Ortiz have been denied admission for now to the Hall of Fame. The only way they can make it is if the Veterans Committee or whatever they're calling it these days ends up putting them in down the road. So curious to get your thoughts on this at 49451. DeMarco Farr, by the way, from the Rams radio crew is going to join us. I want to ask him the question, Dick, I asked you yesterday. Do the Rams have to make a Super Bowl? Do they have to win it to justify giving up what they gave up for Matt Stafford? And then John Wilner is going to join us. He's been kind of poking at the Husky wide receiver core the last month or so on his Twitter account, kind of reminding people about the struggles that they've had at that position. Does he feel like maybe the tide is starting to turn a little bit? We'll talk to John at 5:05, but 49451 for testimonials. We'll chat about this a little more as well. Did they get it right or wrong by not including Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame on 950 KJR?
You're listening to Softy and Dick. Now, back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen.
What kind of baseball you play? Really, what kind of baseball do you play?
Softy and Dick on 950 KJR.
God, how hilarious would it have been if the guy would have said, I don't know, with a glove and a bat and a ball.
Oh, man.
Dipstick.
Lou would have blown up.
Oh, God, I missed that. I mean, you know, there was a time with him where they were not playing well, but it was always fun, right? Because he was around, so... Speaking of fun, no matter what's happening on the radio station, no matter how miserable people are, we can always count on the morning guy, the anchor. Which apparently there's like some video now out on Twitter of him on some game show back in the day. What the hell was that all about?
Nope.
No?
Lie.
No video?
A lie.
It's a lie?
A lie.
That, made
that,
up.
That wasn't you? That was somebody else that looked like you?
Impersonator.
Okay.
Certainly a different person.
Have you seen this?
By the way,
I'll show you in the break.
About.
Jackson, have you seen this thing?
I'll stop.
Yes.
I'll stop.
I mean, little did we know. We got a TV star on our hands.
It's a regular Drew Carey right here.
Dick and I were arguing off the air about the origin of baseball and the first game ever played, and now we know where the idea for The Bachelor came. It didn't come from NBC, I can tell you that, or wherever the hell station that thing's on. Well, Chuck Powell is with us, and Chuck, I'm pissed off. I'm angry. I'm not going to take it anymore. Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds denied permission to enter the hallowed halls of Cooperstown and the Baseball Hall of Fame. They got one more shot down the road with the old man committee. Where do you stand on this? Right decision, wrong decision?
Wrong. I would put them in. I'll say this. If there's a person out there, like a Dan Shaughnessy came under a lot of heat because he only voted for one person. Apparently, he looks at Jeff Kent and thinks, well, he's not very muscly, so he must not have done PEDs. So that he has the approach that I'm not going to vote for any of these guys that I'm suspicious of. And you know what? I respect that more than I do the person that is, I think he used them, but I don't think he used them a lot. So I'm going to vote for him. And that guy over there, yeah, he probably used them, but he didn't fail a test. So I'm going to put him in. I just don't like this eyeball test that these writers are using. Let's wake up. You've already voted people into the Hall of Fame that were on PEDs. Now, for how significant amount of time, I have no idea. But you've already done it, and please don't make me put together a list because those listening right now would be horrified to find out some of those that are in that actually used PEDs. So I don't get this, like, picking and choosing which PED suspicion guys that we're going to put in and which we are not. And so there's one thought that, well, I'm only Tom Verducci. I'm not going to vote for guys that actually failed a test. Okay, so Bernie Madoff was a great businessman until he got arrested for being a criminal? No, he was a criminal the entire time. He just got caught. And that's the same thing that you have in Major League Baseball. So I don't like to play that game of guessing who did and who didn't. You've already popped the lid off of this thing. You've put guys into the Hall of Fame that were PED users. And so Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, to me, are Hall of Famers, and I would vote them in. And so right now you vote David Ortiz, who's highly suspicious. I'm very nearly as convinced David Ortiz used PEDs as I am Roger Clemens and as I am Barry Bonds. But now on the first ballot, we're going to put David Ortiz in. So he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. The only difference between him and those other two, in my personal estimation, and I don't have any facts to back this up, the only difference between them is that Ortiz couldn't play defense.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
Yeah.
And so I'm with you. I'm not outraged. If there's somebody out there that just wants to take the Shaughnessy approach, and I'm just going to put a blight on that entire PED era, I respect that a little bit more than this guessing game that we've decided to play with PEDs in the Hall of Fame vote.
Well, I'm reading an article here that says ESPN confirmed that David Ortiz did test positive for steroids in 2003.
Yes.
So, I mean, and I'm wondering if... Is this a personality contest, too? Because let's look at this. We all love, it's Big Poppy, right? We all love Big Poppy, but Barry Bonds is an a-hole, and so is Roger Clemens. And is that have,
and Curt
that
Schilling.
Has, and Curt, does Curt that have Schilling. Something to do with it?
I think it has a little bit to do with it. I think it absolutely has everything to do with Curt Schilling. I think that it probably has a little bit to do, but there's just this... These guys are without a shadow of a doubt. Alex Rodriguez is one of the 10 best players in Major League Baseball history. He got 30% of the vote today.
Yeah.
So there's this feeling of what these guys are without a shadow of a doubt, so I'm not going to vote for these guys because of that. And I, to me, it's just those are criminals that got caught in the act. You've already given a rubber stamp to those that have violated this stuff in the past. And so I hate that this is what the Hall of Fame vote has become. The PED era put an entire blight on baseball's history. I would even be okay if you just said, and this, Bob, by the way, includes people like Junior, but you guys have to take responsibility for being quiet through the entire time, even if you were clean. Why don't you just wipe out 25 years of baseball history and don't even acknowledge it if that's what we're going to do with our Hall of Fame vote?
Well, that's the point that Canzano made today with Puck and Moore, that you go to the Hall of Fame, and I'm not sure if you've been there, Chuck, but you walk into the Hall of Fame and you see a women in baseball exhibit, you see a Japanese baseball exhibit, you see letters from bigots that Hank Aaron had to read when he was chasing down Babe Ruth. All these stories that happened off the field are acknowledged, except for this. It's like you walk in there and they give you a temporary lobotomy. It's insane that this era in baseball is not even recognized.
Why don't you just put a wing in? I mean, there's not going to be anybody that doesn't know the story of Barry Bonds that isn't going to say that he is going to have some sort of asterisk placed by his name for the rest of time. But it is a museum, after all, a museum of baseball history. I mean, Pete Rose did something outlandish that should never be accepted. Pete Rose should never get to make another dollar off of Major League Baseball. They were right to say you can't manage, you can't be in an organization, but you can't tell the story of baseball's history without Pete Rose included in that. And the same thing with this PED era. Barry Bonds is the single greatest player of our generation. And yes, he used PEDs. Before that, he was already a 400-400 man with four MVP awards at that point. Yeah. And by the way, if it's just as clear cut to everybody that's voting of what years he was taking steroids, because this is what they point out, the big giant burst in terms of production. If it's just as clear cut of when he used PEDs, then it should be just as clear cut that when he was not on them, and when he was not on them, he was still a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, is the Veterans Committee more likely to feel like we feel and give the vote, give the nod, or are they more likely to do what the writers are doing, and that's pick and choose?
I think eventually, one way or the other, they will eventually get in. I do believe that that's going to happen. They wrote their ticket. I mean, I get the arguments, and I don't want cheating in baseball, and I'm embarrassed by that era as a huge baseball fan myself. But how many? We're just going to penalize the ones that got caught Yeah, that to me rubs me the wrong way. But I think they will eventually get in, and they'll probably create a steroid committee someday and put him in that way, because they're always trying to finagle ways to get – I mean, Tony La Russa finagled a way to get Harold Baines in, for goodness sake. Yeah. So they'll probably figure out a way at some point to get them in. But, you know, I'm kind of with Bob Costas. You kind of proved. You made them wait 10 years.
Yes.
You know they're Hall of Famers.
Yes.
And so this was the last chance. You made them wait the longest period of time that they possibly can on the normal ballot. So now's the time to put them in, because don't make me list all the guys that you've already put in.
No, you're exactly right. And I mean, I don't have much to offer anymore. I mean, I don't have much to offer, period. But now that you've taken every great thought that I've got in my brain, I mean, it's like we're in lockstep, because here's the thing, man. There's a difference between a first ballot Hall of Famer, a fifth ballot Hall of Famer, and a 10th ballot Hall of Famer. The first ballot Hall of Fame club is the elite of the elite of the elite, and you took that away forever from Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. So putting him in the Hall of Fame as a 10th ballot Hall of Famer to me is more than fine. And I mean, you're exactly right. Roger Clemens, before he met Brian McNamee, had won 3 Cy Youngs already. For God's sakes, I got Bonds for 3 MVPs. You got him for 4, but whatever. So, and then on top of that, and Dick and I talked about this last segment, just the hypocrisy of baseball, when baseball turned the other cheek and made hundreds of millions of dollars off these guys in the late 90s, early 2000s. Are they giving all that money back? Is that money tainted now? Should they make some kind of a donation to a charity because it was blood money?
Yeah, and by the way, what a great thing to point out today. Thank you for pointing this out. The fact that you had this entire era that has put us as baseball fans through this nonsense. And you had a commissioner who oversaw the entire process, did nothing about it. As a matter of fact, didn't even discourage. He encouraged the use by his inactivity, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Bud Selig is in the Hall of Fame. Are you kidding me? The guy that is overseeing the entire process and knew all of... Bud Selig's right-hand man was Sandy Alderson. Yeah. Sandy Alderson was the GM of the Oakland A's, the poster team for steroid
Bash
use.
Bash Brothers, right.
Sandy Alderson wrote the checks for the guys that were the biggest violators in the sport. You don't think Bud Selig knew what was going on, but Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame, and yet we're here, 25 years later, picking apart clear resumes for Hall of Fame status because of steroid use. Thanks, Bud.
It's a great time for our favorite Terry Ryan drop of all time.
Does it make any sense?
It does not.
Chuck, we were talking last segment about having a Hall of Fame of the Hall of Fame, like a gold room or something, because you got a guy like Babe Ruth in the Hall of Fame, and you got a guy like Bill Mazeroski that had a 260 career batting average and 138 home runs, and if he doesn't hit a home run in the World Series, he's not in the Hall of Fame. So do you agree that there should be some sort of delineation, and we should put together some like special room just for the Aarons and the Mazes and the Mantles of the world?
I've always felt that way, and I certainly feel more about it today than I did then. And then you can keep Barry Bonds out, and you can keep Roger Clemens out of that special room. And so maybe it has to be all revoted again, because I guess there were some legends, and we won't go through the list, that didn't get in on the first ballot. Pete Rose used to always tell me, and I used to work with Pete Rose, so I'm name dropping here. He used to always tell me, you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. One vote, that's it. That's all you get. There are no 10 years of voting. Either you're a Hall of Famer or you're not. When you look at a player and his career is over, do we not all do that? As sports fans, we say, was that a Hall of Fame career or not? And we check yes or we check no.
Right.
And so you're right. It maybe there should be a special wing or a special room, or hell, build a new building somewhere and do it right here in Seattle, where only the elite of the elite are recognized, and the ones that are above suspicion. So we can highlight guys like Ken Griffey Jr. And we can highlight guys in the PED era that didn't give in to this sort of thing. A Frank Thomas, for example. You know, that's a nice way to, I mean, we don't do enough of that. Like, Fred McGriff's not even considered a Hall of Famer, even though he had 500 home runs without PEDs during the PED era, but because his numbers got dwarfed by Sammy Sosa,
right.
He wasn't all that good. Well, he would have been in any other era.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you want to have a steroid wing, put it in the basement with, like, the Gimp from Pulp Fiction, right? And just make him stay down there. But I don't know, man. It's unfortunate. You know, I'm like, look, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. But, you know,
I was
hoping to get those guys in because I think that's the right thing to do. I think they both belong in the Hall of Fame because I'm totally with you. Barry Bonds, before he began taking steroids, was a 445 home run, 460 stolen base, 5-tool, maybe even 6-tool, unbelievably unmatched player in the history of baseball, if not maybe for a guy named Willie Mays, who was his godfather. And the fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame, I think, makes the Hall of Fame incomplete. So, hey, listen, we called you on short notice. We appreciate this. I was concerned that you would not bring much to the table. So I'm glad to see that my concerns were unfounded from the start.
No opinions whatsoever.
Yeah, good stuff. And you'll be, I'm sure, hitting this on your show tomorrow, right?
Absolutely. And we'll talk. I don't even know who we've got on to discuss that. But yeah, we'll do some NFL stuff too. Will Brinson joins us every week. We'll have Chris Myers from Fox on tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And so yeah, we'll cover all the bases.
Well, you can ask Chris Myers about it. He used to do a freaking sports talk show for Fox Radio back in the day. So yeah, I'm sure he's got a take on this as well.
And Will Brinson, the author of maybe my favorite tweet of all time,
really,
when he said there's a special kind of drug reserved for Seahawks.
Oh, here we go. Good grief.
One of the all-time great lines.
Hey, Chuck, let me ask you a question. Is there an athlete that you just hate beyond repair that you'll always just have, just despise an athlete in your life? Anybody? Or a person, politician, entertainer, whatever. Maybe somebody here at the radio station? Who do you hate? Who do you love to hate?
Yeah, Bucky.
Okay, that's the way he feels about Seahawks Twitter.
Okay. Oh, I'm aware. I'm aware of Fane's relationship with Seahawks Twitter.
Fane would take Kyle Seager and Seahawks Twitter and put them on the Titanic knowing it's going to sink.
Yes, I would.
All right, dude, good stuff, man.
You, man.
Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Chuck Powell, Bucky, Ashley Ryan. We're going to break 3:41. Is it time for the Seahawks to maybe pounce and take advantage of a unforeseen situation? Come back and discuss that.
You
next
got my wheels turning.
On Softy and Dick.
To Softy and Dick. Now back to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
I have smoked dope one time in my life.
Softy and Dick on 950 KJR.
How many times have you smoked dope in your life, Dick Finn?
Zero.
Oh, come on.
Same as Lou.
That's not even remotely accurate.
Absolutely accurate.
I came over the other night and you were high as a kite.
Yeah, right.
What are you talking about?
I haven't smoked a cigarette or a joint.
My God. You thought I was a marshmallow when I came over. That's how stoned you were.
Why do you have four heads, Dave?
You've never smoked a cigarette or a joint?
No.
You ever had a beer?
Yeah, I've had more than my share.
Shot of whiskey.
Yes, more than my share.
You ever done crack cocaine or coke?
No.
All right. Hardest drug you've ever done in your life is alcohol?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah.
My God, you better live to 1,000, dude.
That's my
goal,
man. I'm
telling you right now, you better live to 1,000. Wow. Did you see the poll that I put out on Twitter today?
I voted on it.
Poll.
I did.
So Sean Payton, for those that haven't heard, and most of you now know that he quit the Saints. He's not retiring. He said he's not going to coach in 2022. He's only 57, I think.
Why
whatever.
Is everybody reporting it's a retirement?
I don't know.
He's not retiring.
Yeah, I think somebody threw that out there first, and then it got kind of, you know, whatever. But he's going to step down from the Saints, and he's not going to coach in 2022. So, you know, more for shiggles and gits, I'll admit it. And then also, Jackson, I'll let you in on a little secret. More just to drive him nuts over there. I put this poll out on Twitter, all right, about your guy Pete Carroll. Okay. All right. Would you fire Pete Carroll right now and replace him with Sean Payton if you could? 3,600 votes in, 56% say no. 44% say yes. They would fire Pete Carroll right now and replace him with Sean Payton.
44%? I'm surprised it's not higher. Yes. I am one of those 44%.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, hell yes.
Okay, but 56% say
no.
They would not fire Pete Carroll. What about you?
I'm surprised. I'm along with Jackson. I, when I saw that poll, just my knowledge of what a lot of Seahawks fans think of their head coach, I thought it was going to
be higher.
Oh, I thought it'd be 65 to 70.
Or just reversed, right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
but he's one of he's on a very short list of guys that I would consider trading Pete Carroll for.
Well, how about this for an idea? What if you go to Pete Carroll now if you're Jody Allen, or excuse me, Sean Payton now if you're Jody Allen, and say, look, our guy's 70. I have no idea how much longer he's going to want to do this for. I have no idea what our team looks like next year. Let me just ask you flat out, if there's a vacancy when you're ready to coach again, would you have interest in coming here to Seattle to be the coach in waiting for the Seahawks? Maybe him and Pete talk, and he gets the sense from Pete that he's got a couple years left, and then he's going to walk away, and then Sean Payton slides right in. That would be a pretty awesome succession plan, would it not? To go from Pete Carroll to Sean Payton, especially, guys, if you still have Russell Wilson playing quarterback for
you. Yes, it's one of the reasons. It's probably the biggest reason that I bristle when people want to fire Pete Carroll, because my
who would you hire?
Exactly. Okay. You're sure you're going to get a guy as good as Pete Carroll if you just decide to fire him, and then you go look you go look at the available candidates, and you tell me who's better than Pete Carroll, and they're all like, I've had this conversation many times, and people go, there's not really anybody. Then don't fire him.
Is that how they react to it? Just like that?
Yes. Like,
that, by the way?
I mean, I have one-on-one conversations with people about this. I've had conversations with people on Twitter, and then they're all like, Pete Carroll should go. Pete Carroll. And I'm usually very calm, and I say, fine. Tell me who you'd hire that's available.
What if they go 6-11 next year? Or 5-12?
I don't think they even have to go 6-11.
I'm just saying, what if they did?
I'm fine with hiring
Sean
Payton.
Here's my point. I think that there is a place that you can get to where it doesn't really matter who the successor is. You just know that this isn't working anymore. And I bring up the Tyrone Willingham conversation.
Right.
Trust me.
Comparing Pete with Tyrone?
I'm not trying to compare Pete Carroll to Tyrone Willingham at all. I'm just trying to make a point.
Pete, what's up, man? Where you been?
It's been around.
That it didn't matter who the successor was because you knew it wasn't working.
Okay.
So can you see in your brain, your clean, never tainted with marijuana or crack cocaine brain, that we can get to a point where you just admit, all right, it's no longer working with him. We have to do something. I'm not saying you're there now, but maybe next year you'll get there where who his successor is won't be a factor in letting him go. That's my point.
I think it'll still always be a factor because what I don't want to do is I don't want to be one of those franchises that hires and fires and hires and fires four different coaches in 10 years, because there's about 10 or 15 franchises out there like that, and it's easy to slip into that cycle of death. So I don't want to go there. I need to know with certainty that if I'm firing Pete Carroll, I've got a guy ready and waiting to step in that has legitimate playoff head coaching experience.
Great, but I do think that you can get to a point where you're going to admit, hey, this isn't working, we need a change, and then you go out and you find out who the replacement's going to be. I agree with you. I don't want to get into that cycle of death. Is that what you said? I don't want to get into that cycle of death either. And a lot of teams, like Mike Tomlin, for example, Steeler fan, some could argue that Mike Tomlin should have been let go 4 or 5 years ago because of what's been going on in Pittsburgh. And maybe they would have gotten more out of Big Ben if they had a different head coach besides Mike Tomlin. But I think we all can agree that if Jody Allen's going to continue to own the franchise, making some kind of contact with Sean Payton to talk about his future is never a bad thing. Like when John Schneider went down to scout out Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, or who was the big tall guy? Was it Paxton Lynch that we had?
Yes.
They were at his workout. Had a quarterback, didn't need him. You know what they were doing? They were getting prepared in case they did, in case something fell into their lap that they weren't foreseeing. So if Jody Allen, if I'm Jody, and I am totally engaged in this, and I want to be the Seahawk owner for a long time, I'm calling Sean Payton, and I'm just saying, hey, I want to introduce myself, and I got a 70-year-old guy, don't know what his future looks like, and, if it ever became available, if our paths ever crossed, and if the stars aligned, it would be fun to maybe do something together. That's what I would do if I were Jody Allen.
There is no question that should happen, and I would be shocked if the Dallas Cowboys owner has not already
absolutely
done it.
Even if he's the, you know what, he might even fire Mike McCarthy.
We talked about it yesterday. Remember my preposterous trade? And the first step of my preposterous Dak Prescott for Aaron Rodgers trade was that Sean Payton gets hired as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, but we know what Seahawks fans' response is when Dick asks them who they want to hire to replace Pete Carroll. They just babble. Could be anybody.
That's what they sound like.
All right, 356. DeMarco Farr is going to join us, former Husky. He's on the Rams radio broadcast. Do the Rams have to win a Super Bowl? Do they have to make a Super Bowl to justify everything they did to make this football team better this year, including giving up picks for Matt Stafford, Von Miller, signing OBJ? We'll talk to DeMarco next on 950K.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.